During the proceedings at the March 5th meeting, security guards escorted out at least one parent who was yelling over the board in anger about their child's school closing. One student went to the podium out of turn and told the board she wanted to give her jacket she wore as a student at Capital College Preparatory Academy back to them. It took several minutes for security to convince her to leave. It's no secret emotions were high that evening as the board took a second vote on closing the academy, commonly called CCPA. It was close, 4-3. And earlier in the meeting, board member Bill Luby suggested that maybe the board should table the vote, that maybe they could consider keeping it open in some capacity after further study, perhaps as a school within a school. But that suggestion was also voted down. Those who attended the meeting, which was held in a gymnasium versus the normal boardroom due to the high turnout, were met at the door by CCPA students. They handed out papers meant to show why the school should remain open. One chart used ISAT reading trend data and showed that on average, students who started at the school in sixth grade increased their reading test scores from the previous year by 17%. CCPA was a project of Superintendent Walter Milton and opened in 2010. It's known for serving low-income students grades 6 through 8, and those from a variety of ethnic backgrounds, and it aims to put them on a path to higher education. Milton will be leaving the district next month. Here's what the Academy's PTA president, Bob Ogden, had to say after the board voted to close it.
I would like to say I'm surprised, but I'm not surprised. I believe that it would have taken more courage than this current board has to admit they're making a mistake and to change their vote.
Was there any hope for a moment there when they were considering an amendment that would have given more time to study and maybe come back?
I believe they deliberately called for a vote on something that they knew had a chance, and I believe that should have been tabled until after we had a chance to speak. They put the cart before the horse, and this isn't about education, because you're actually closing a school that is not on the academic watch list while you're keeping 27. It doesn't make sense to me. We're being penny wise and pound foolish. The other thing is, you don't have money to keep CCPA open, but yet we can find $178,000 for an agreement to buy somebody out of a contract that would have finished it out, and we wouldn't have to go through this. Plus now I find out we're paying $750 a day for an interim superintendent. Money that isn't going to address those 4,642 kids that aren't meeting standards now. I believe we've robbed them of an opportunity by taking that money and using it somewhere else that is not even going to education. I believe that's wrong.
What do you think of Board Member Mueller's argument that she was bearing in mind the greatest good for the greatest amount of people? What's your take on that?
Well, when you look at the numbers, there's 308 kids at the academy. There's 319 kids at Lincoln Magnet. That's only 11 kids difference. So I guess 11 kids means you get closed. I mean, they don't want to hear about the performance standards. They don't care about that because the numbers are there. Everything that we look at to support education, closing that achievement gap, cost per student, this decision was made on fuzzy math. And I believe it was made simply because this was Dr. Milton's biggest thing that he wanted to get going was CCPAP. And that's what happened with CCPA. I mean, it suffered because of who proposed it.
And for those who are unfamiliar with the school, can you describe a little bit about what the students are like and who they are?
Well, it's a very mixed school. I mean, there are more African-American students there than there are white, but that's never been a problem. My daughter did not have to go there, but we chose to send her there because she wanted to go participate in a school that was gender specific, and the wearing uniforms didn't bother her.
Gender specific meaning that they're separated?
The girls are separated from the boys because anybody that's coached boys or girls or taught boys and girls understand that they learn at different paces. We do not track the children. There's no high track, low track. It doesn't happen. All of them work together. And this school actually is performing and doing a very good job. And what is a little known fact is these kids have never had library books in their library, nor a librarian. You never have heard us complain about it, But really, if you go to the school, you see empty shelves in the library. No books, no resources. And a couple months ago, there was a budget review committee meeting where they threw an absolute fit because people were getting rid of four librarians and that was going to be so detrimental to the kids' success. Okay, I understand that. What good and how good would our results have been had we had books in the library? I'm just, you know, we're not comparing apples to apples here.
Susan White is the school board's president. This interview took place immediately after the first candidate forum for the District 186 election. I started by asking her what she thinks of claims that CCPA was chosen to be closed because it was a project launched by now-ousted Superintendent Milton.
And I was just wondering if you have any comments on that.
That couldn't be farther from the truth. As far as to get back to cause pain for students and families at the expense of getting back at a superintendent with whom, you know, the working relationship is not going as well as one would expect. I guess my response to that, though, is what I just said. I'm frustrated that we weren't given accurate information to start with. That makes me mad. And I understand why the parents and the students are mad. They like their school. They care about their school. And the program that was started wasn't sustainable. And we can't go down that road. We've got to be honest with the community about what we can afford, and we should only start programs that we can sustain. And I think that we need to provide resources for all of our children and not just a select few.
And you were obviously one of the members who voted to close the school, and obviously there's been a lot of backlash from parents, students. It's the community really is starting to rally around this school. What's, you know, just your response to those people who are so upset right now?
I don't think that the people who are upset right now are ready for a response yet. I've tried explaining to the parents who've called me the reasons for my decision. I attempted to give some of the reasons for my decision on the record at the public meeting on Tuesday night. The parents weren't ready to hear that yet. They're upset and they're angry. And at that, you know, when you're an upset, angry person, it's very hard to hear an opinion that's different than yours and to really take it to heart and try to give the other hear the other side of the argument. I was one of the seven board members voted to begin the Capital College Preparatory Academy. Hindsight's 2020, and had I known that I couldn't trust the information that I had been provided, I wouldn't have voted for it.
And you couldn't trust it, why?
Well, I mean, I did trust it, and it's turned out that none of the information that I was given has proven to be true.
Information on just budget-wise?
Information about the funding for the program, information about the budget, and information about the way that it would affect the other middle schools. I also am told that, and when I look at the data, yes, there's a large number of low-income students at CCPA. It's no different than the number of low-income students at Washington Middle School, for example. When I compare the data on the academic achievement data at the two schools, there's not a lot of difference there either. And so I think the claim that students at CCPA can't achieve at our other schools is just wrong.
And what about the alternative idea that was brought up and also voted down, but to, you know, maybe look at a school within a school or keep it going in some capacity? Why in your mind was that not a good option?
I actually think it is a good option, but it didn't make sense with the vote that we had on Tuesday night. The board member, Mr. Luby, who asked that we have that item be re-voted last Tuesday night, is the one who proposed the modification to that resolution. And I knew nothing about it. I hadn't thought about it, and I didn't want to just continue to change course with those parents. Whether we develop the program as a school within a school, or whether we just take the best practices and the the things that we've learned through the Capital College Preparatory Academy over, you know, through its implementation over the past 3 years and use them in our other schools and replicate some of the things that were working, it is a longer term conversation. And I think at this point, had we not voted to go ahead and close the school, it would have kept those families in limbo for quite a while. Our RIF date is coming up. We've got to get our budget together, and it just didn't make sense. But I do think it's a good idea.
As the school board struggles to come up with a way to save several million dollars for the next fiscal year, hurdles include the lack of a long-term budget plan and a community that largely opposes property tax increases. Everyone's being told that none of the cuts are being made easily. Those who want CCPA to remain open say they still have hope that the doors won't be closing forever, that a new school board to be seated after the election in April may see things differently. I'm Rachel Otwell.